How kind are you? We're going to do a little test today on the Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned if you dare. Yeah, today's going to be an interesting show. I'm glad you stuck around because we are going to do a little kindness assessment. I've got a series of questions that we'll look at to determine exactly how kind we are. Now, let's be honest. It might be a little unpleasant to realize that we might have some work to do, but don't you think it's better to figure that out now? I certainly do. So that's what we will do on the program today. We will look at some questions taken from the book Kindness by Father Lawrence Lovasik, which will help you to determine, are you kind enough? Now, I can't give you the answers to the questions. You'll have to answer them for yourself. But I'm going to ask the questions, and I really want you to think about this, and I think it will be beneficial. Also on the program today, we will look at the Mass readings from the 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time. In fact, we'll start with that. As we do every Friday, we look at the Sunday Mass readings and also look at the hidden power of kindness. And the readings this Sunday are very interesting ones. We're getting toward the end of the liturgical year, the end of the church year, and pretty soon we'll be starting the Advent season, which is the beginning of a new church year. As one church year finishes up, a new one begins. There are 34 weeks in the church year. This week is week 30 in Ordinary Time. So we've got 4 weeks before we start Advent. Kind of scary, isn't it? I also want to let you know that I mentioned this on the program before, but I'll say it again. I plan to do an Advent retreat here on the show, so if you are interested in participating, stay tuned. Make sure you get on my mailing list. You can do that by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com, and I'll let you know what exactly it is we'll do. I'm not really sure yet, but I'm going to try to make it very easy, easy for you to do, to show up and do in a 30-minute time frame. But I also want to make it work. That's the important thing about the Advent season, about the Lenten season. We have to do some work to move away from our sinful habits and move closer to the Lord. That's the whole purpose of that. But stay tuned. More information will be forthcoming. All right, I know your big question today. And you know what? I'm excited about this one today. The beverage du jour. I know somebody out there is saying it's probably coffee again. Well, guess what? It's not. And I know that you won't guess this one. You ready to go? Here we go. What do you think? If you happen to say a bottle of RC Cola made with real sugar, you are correct. Yes, that's right. I couldn't believe when I found several different sodas made with real sugar in long neck glass bottles at my supermarket a few weeks ago. I think I had the 7-Up on the air. Well, I've got RC, I've got Sunkist, I've got Canada Dry Ginger Ale. Oh, man, real treat. I like my coffee, but I also like these sodas made with real sugar. That's how I remember them tasting when I grew up. Now, I don't drink these all the time, but I enjoy them every now and then. So I thought that I'm going to break this in. I'm going to save this beverage for this program. How's that? I hope you've got a snack. I hope you've got a comfortable chair. I'm glad you could spend some time with me on the program. And if you're a new listener, I really want to thank you for tuning in. And please know that you're always welcome here on Blog Talk Radio. This program airs Monday through Friday. It's a 30-minute show each night. We put the podcast up in the evening. And I'm really grateful to have you as a listener. If there is anything that I can do for you, any questions you may have about the faith, about my show, about anything we discuss, please email me at Gary@followingthetruth.com, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Well, here's the deal. We've got a lot to do today, so let's get right to it. Let's pray, and then we will talk about the Mass readings for Sunday of the 30th week in Ordinary Time, and then we'll look at a checklist which will tell us how kind we are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father in heaven, thank you for giving us another day. We're very grateful for the opportunity to know you, to love you, and to serve you once again. Please help us, Father, as we continue to draw closer to you. Help us to be kind to those around us. Please bless us and our families. We lift up anyone who is sick, anybody who is anxious, anybody who is lonely, anyone who is struggling from doubt or despair, anyone who is dealing with addiction or financial difficulty. We especially, Father, lift up our brothers and sisters in Mexico today as we await the arrival of Hurricane Patricia, which promises to be a serious, serious storm. We ask you, Father, to spare our Mexican friends from any damage. Father, I give you this program. I ask you to take over for me, to please speak through me, and to preach the message that you wish us to hear this evening, and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to this message. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. And now, Blessed Mother, we turn to you and ask for your intercession as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, glad that you could pray with me. I'm going to jump right into the program because I have so much to cover today. I don't want to run out of time. The first thing we will do is look at the Mass readings from Sunday's Mass, which is the 30th week in Ordinary Time. First reading comes from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 7 through 9. Thus says the Lord, shout with joy for Jacob, exult at the head of the nations. Proclaim your praise and say, the Lord has delivered his people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them back from the land of the north. I will gather them from the ends of the world, with the blind and the lame in their midst, the mothers and those with child. They shall return as an immense throng. They departed in tears. But I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road, so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. Ephraim is my firstborn. This first reading is a great it's a great prophecy, and informs the reader. Now remember, we're looking back on this reading several thousand years after it was written. It lets the reader know that the Lord would rescue the Israelites, as he did so many times. Here's what would happen repeatedly. The Israelites would turn away from the Lord. They would get in trouble. They'd need his help. They'd turn back to him. He'd answer them. He'd help them. They'd forget about him, start worshiping idols, do what they want, get in trouble again, turn back to him. And it happened over and over again. Throughout history, this same pattern happened. And I think we would be unrealistic, or let's say not unrealistic, we would be somewhat it would be unfair for us to say that we don't do the same thing, because we really do. Every time we pray, not every time, but many times we pray, when we get our prayers answered, we turn away from the Lord and we think, all right, I've got it from here, I don't need his help anymore. Now, whether we say that or not doesn't matter. We do it by our actions, and we forget sometimes. But in his mercy, what the Lord will do is sometimes remind us. And it's a really good thing, because I think we need that reminder. This is what happened to the Israelites. They would forget about him. He'd call them back, sometimes in not so gentle of a way, so that he would get their attention. And eventually, they would come to their senses and come back to him. That theme runs throughout these readings. The responsorial psalm is, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Psalm 126, always a good attitude to have. If we can look back over our lives, as well as looking back over salvation history, we'll see that the Lord has done many great things for us. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown, they shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. There is no doubt that life can be difficult at times. We are faced with many struggles, many opportunities for suffering. It's just going to be really tough at times. But if we keep our eyes at the end or to the finish line, we'll remember that heaven is our goal. Our goal is not to be as comfortable as possible in life, or at least it shouldn't be. Because if that's our goal, we are going to be very miserable, because we're never going to achieve total comfort in this life. And if we do, we're not doing what the Lord wants us to do. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward toward our heavenly home. This home is not permanent. This home is a temporary stop off along the way, this earth. Our home is heaven, and we need to keep our focus on heaven and what has to be done in order for us to get there. See, if we lose our focus, we're going to become distracted and forget what needs to be done. And what needs to be done is we need to follow our Lord, his teachings. If he tells us something, we have to pay attention. We have to respond. The second reading, Hebrews 5, verses 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so, for this reason, must make sin offerings for himself, as well as for the people. No one takes this honor upon himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. In the same way, it was not Christ who glorified himself in becoming high priest, but rather the one who said to him, "You are my son, this day I have begotten you." Just as he says in another place, "You are a priest forever," according to the order of Melchizedek. Simply put, Jesus is the ultimate high priest. He is the high priest. What does a high priest do? A high priest offers a sacrifice to the Lord. And in the case of Jesus, he offered his very body for us to make reparation for the sins that we have all committed. He opened the gates of heaven for us by his death and his resurrection, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. Be very thankful about that, the fact that Jesus is the high priest, and that he and he alone could have made up for all of the sins of mankind. Let's continue on with the gospel now. We'll tie these all together more at the end. This gospel is from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. As Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a sizable crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind man, the son of Timaeus, sat by the roadside begging. On hearing that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have pity on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent, but he kept calling out all the more, "Son of David, have pity on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, get up. Jesus is calling you." He threw aside his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Jesus said to him in reply, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man replied to him, "Master, I want to see." Jesus told him, "Go your way, your faith has saved you." Immediately he received his sight and followed him on the way. "What do you want me to do for you?" the blind man replied, "Master, I want to see." If you look at Bartimaeus, the blind man, he was completely helpless. There is nothing that Bartimaeus could do to help himself. In the same way, you and I can do nothing to be able to get to heaven. That can only happen through the sacrifice offered by the high priest Jesus. Remember that second reading. Because of that sacrifice that he offered, the gates of heaven were opened. We were redeemed, and it's possible for us to go to heaven. Now, what we need to remember, and you'll hear me talk about this a lot because it's something that we shouldn't forget, but we can forget if we're not careful. What we need to remember is that even though we can do nothing to earn heaven or to get there on our own, all by ourselves, we can mess it up and end up not living in heaven. So what's the answer? The answer is for us to cooperate with the grace that the Lord gives us, that He wants to give us, and listen to what He tells us and lean on Him for the help to be holy. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to go through a checklist where we will examine just how kind we are. This is a big problem. This is a big problem that we have in our lives, or that we can have in our lives. If we are not careful, we can not pay attention. We can lose sight of the fact that we are called to be kind to one another. Let's continue to pray that we can hear what the Lord is saying. When we hear this checklist about being kind, that we can really look inside of ourselves and be honest and say, yeah, I need work in this area. And then ask for the help to do it. The sacraments are great for this. The Eucharist, confession, prayer, fighting against your tendency to be unkind. I mean, we all have some tendency to do that. It's very easy to be nice to nice people, but we've got to be nice to the people who are not nice as well. So let's all keep that in mind. Let's all keep that in mind. And I want to go right into, but if you have questions about these Mass readings, so essentially what we have in these Mass readings is the reminder that by ourselves, we can't get to heaven. With the help of the Lord, though, the ultimate high priest, it is possible. We all suffer, in a sense, from a spiritual blindness, as did Bartimaeus. We need the help of the Lord. He can open our eyes. And let's go through this checklist about kindness and ask Him to please, Lord, open our eyes and let us see if we're not being kind so that we can correct some of the problems. All right, but if you have questions about anything that I discussed, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. All right, you ready to get started? Are you sure? I don't know if I am. I'm a little scared. I'm going to take a sip of my RC Cola. It's going to be fun. Now, what I'm going to do is, this is categorized into kind thoughts, kind words, and kind deeds. I'm looking, there's maybe about 10 or 15 questions for each of these. Answer to the best of your ability. But let's ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, please enlighten us. Let us be able to answer these questions. And if we think that we're not doing a good job, today is Friday when we're doing this program. Tomorrow, many churches offer the sacrament of reconciliation. Why don't we make it a point to try to go? If we realize, and we will realize it, if we realize that we have some shortcomings in this area, we'll ask for the grace at the end. We'll say a little prayer from the book to help make us kind. You ready to get started? All right, kind thoughts. Have I refused in my heart to forgive a person who has injured me? Have I recalled, when hurt by others, how God has forgiven me for my sins and tried to forgive in the same generous spirit? Have I nursed resentment against others, even though I did make an effort at forgiveness? Has my sensitiveness caused me to be unfriendly toward others? Have I cast a gloom over my surroundings by giving way to morose and sullen moods? Have I permitted jealousy toward another to show in my conduct? Do I deliberately harbor unkind and revengeful thoughts about others? Have I attributed bad motives to others when I could not be certain of their motives? Am I inclined to be rude, impolite, distant, or harsh in my judgments? Have I been sufficiently aware of the far-reaching power of my example, which influences others for good or bad, even when I do not advert to that influence? do I frequently remember these words of Christ, which apply to acts of charity. Inasmuch as you did this to one of these least brethren of mine, you did it to me. Do I wish my neighbor all the good things that I wish for myself? Have I adopted the twofold motto, never give pain, and promote the happiness of others whenever possible? So those questions pertain to kind thoughts. Now look, if you have a couple of things in there that you may be guilty of, great, I'm glad we could figure this out right now. And let's continue on with kind words. As a husband or wife, have I made any effort to prevent the sins of my partner? Have I neglected my duty of preventing those in my charge from committing sin or correcting them after they have failed? Have I failed to report to someone in authority the certain sins of a neighbor, which I knew were doing harm to innocent persons or the community as a whole? Have I refused to talk to or to recognize someone who has wronged me? When I myself was guilty of doing evil against my neighbor, have I refused in word or in deed to show that I was sorry and wished to be forgiven? After a quarrel with another, have I refused to make any advances toward reconciliation unless the other person took the first step? Have I, by silence or approval, failed to present or to prevent the defamation of another's character when I could have done so? Have I permitted gossip and petty talebearing to go on in my presence without an effort to change the subject? Have I at times evaded an opportunity to enlighten someone on religious truth? Have I slandered others by attributing sins to them which they did not commit or of which I had no evidence? Is an absent person's reputation safe when I am present, or do I join in discussion of his faults? Have I ruined the reputation of others by telling their secret sins to persons who could not otherwise have known them and who had no claim to such information? Have I lied in order that I may gain from another's loss? Have I destroyed or lessened the faith of others by speaking contemptuously about religion or the church or priest and so forth? Have I engaged in petty gossip about my neighbors? Have I told my friends the unkind remarks others made about them, and in this way occasioned ill will? Have I made cutting and sarcastic remarks to others? Do I watch my words and conduct, especially when in the presence of children, since I know how easily they imitate older people? Am I a chronic complainer by habitually looking for flaws and pointing them out to others? Must I admit that most of my murmurings are the outcome of wounded pride or self-will? Do I enter generously into the joys of others, or do I put a damper on them by my adverse attitude? Do I complain about the weather, the boss, the people I work with or live with? Do I complain about the work that I have to do? Am I a kind listener? Can I listen to the same story or the same stale jokes without making the speaker aware of my annoyance by breaking in or cutting him short? Can I offer words of praise readily? Or do I perhaps begrudge the works of praise I hear addressed to others, especially if these words are to the credit of someone I do not particularly like, or of whom I may be somewhat jealous? Have I formed a habit of saying a ready thank you for small favors received? Do I ever make an effort to say encouraging words? Do I check my impulses to reply to unkind words in a spirit of revenge or to defend myself? Finally, let's look at kind deeds. Have I tried to deepen my faith regarding the truth that every act of charity toward a neighbor is also an act of God? Excuse me. Have I refused to give alms for the relief of the needy or charitable causes? For example, the missions, even though I had many opportunities and sufficient means, without depriving myself or my family of the necessities of life? Have I measured my charity only by what others gave, or by what I might receive in return, instead of by my ability to give and the need of others? Have I demanded publicity and praise for every alm that I give? Have I faced the truth that I shall take no material wealth with me beyond death, and that the memory and merit of deeds of charity will then be my greatest consolation? Have I squandered or given away money outside my home to the extent that it left my immediate family in want of necessary things? Have I been remiss in my duty toward the sick who are dependent on me? Have I cooperated with another in committing a sin? When I had the opportunity, have I done anything to prevent evil? For example, the circulation of obscene books and magazines. Have I led others, especially children, into sin by suggestion or bad example? Have I permitted another to suffer injustice or mistreatment when my influence could have prevented it? Have I rejected opportunities to comfort someone in sorrow or to encourage someone in danger of despair? Have I sought opportunities to revenge myself on others by inflicting pain on them? Have I been touchy and sensitive toward those around me? Have I hurt others by my flare-ups of anger and impatience? Have I been quick to show my sorrow as often as I have, either consciously or inadvertently, giving pain to others? Have I contributed to the venial sins of others by unreasonably teasing or annoying them? Have I prevented others from performing a good work by dissuading them from it? Have I prayed for others, especially when tempted to angry thoughts and feelings? Have I prayed daily for my parents, my family, and all my benefactors? Do I treat my neighbors as I would have others treat me, by being kind and ready to help? Do I think and act kindly toward all, and try to treat all alike, at least externally? Am I polite and courteous to the members of my family, as I am to outsiders and guests? Do I try to give a good example to all, and as far as possible to make them happy, by sympathy, by kind conversation, and willingness to render little services? There you have it. Now, if you're like me, a few of those questions were a little painful. Well, praise God for that. Let's try to do something about it. Now remember, make it a point to go to confession and ask for the grace to be able to overcome these sins. We're going to pray a little prayer before the program ends to help make us kind. But remember, when you go to confession, you receive the sacramental grace which will help you to overcome some of your favorite sins. So don't rule that out as being really important. But let's close this segment with a prayer. Dear Master, make me kind in thought, in feeling, look, and word, in heart and manner, even to those who from your love have swerved. Kind most of all to those with whom is cast my lot in life, kind in the sunshine, in the storm, and kind amid the strife. My eyes have rested on your host, may they be kind and true, not pry unkindly into aught that is not work for you. My lips have touched the sacred heart. My lips have touched the sacred host. Let not an unkind word be uttered by the lip, tongue, and lips, whose soul your grace has stirred. That sacred host has been within my very heart and soul. Pour in the floods of kindness, Lord, until I reach my goal. Amen. Don't feel bad if you're not as kind as you should, but it's something we have to work on. So I hope you found this program helpful tonight. You know, again, it's a little painful going into the weekend, but I think it's necessary. And I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. I don't want to kid you, because I need to learn these things myself. I've got a problem being kind sometimes. I need to get better at it, because I want to live with the Lord in heaven. The way we do that is to continue to hang on to his hand and the hand of our Blessed Mother, and ask for the grace that we can overcome our sinful ways and become holy. Amen? All right. Now, if you need anything over the weekend, my email address is gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me know if I can help you in any way. God willing, we'll be back Monday. And on Monday's program, we will once again, as we do each Monday, look at what Catholics really believe as we walk through the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy yourself. Take some time off, especially on the Lord's Day. Relax a little bit. do a little spiritual reading and prayer, spend some time with your family. God bless you, and I hope to see you soon. Take care.